Hello again. You can be turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. The 6th chapter. We're going to try and keep things moving on my end tonight as well. Appreciate opportunity to speak again here. Romans chapter 6. I do have a bone to pick with Jeremy Camp. That's the artist, if you didn't know that. It's in your book, but, you know, I have a bone to pick with him. His music's fine, but he married a gal by the name of Adrian, and Adrian was an artist herself for an obscure Christian music band back in the early 2000s by the name of the Benjamin Gate. I did enjoy the Benjamin Gate, and after Jeremy married Adrian, there's been no more Benjamin Gate. So I have a little bit of a bone to pick with Mr. Jeremy Camp, though I don't find a ton of fault with that song, and there's lots for us to get into scripturally here. So excited to do that. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Familiar with the context here of Romans chapter 6, and Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 11 talk very clearly about our being united with Christ in his death, burial, resurrection, and ultimately ascension. And so in verse 21, he talks about what benefit were you deriving them from the things of which you are now ashamed? That's a good question for us to ask. Have we forgotten our salvation? You know, it's interesting, Romans 6, and we know this, but I want to bring to remembrance, Romans 6 is written to a bunch of Christians. We get teaching on immersion that we can apply, but who is Romans 6 written to? It was written to Christians, right? And why would Paul need to write Romans 6, 1 through 11 to Christians? Well, to remind them. To remind them of what took place. To remind them of who they are. And so in verse 21 here, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. The dead man walking was not the good old days. The result of that dead man walking was the result of that was all sorts of destruction. And so there's a reminder here of who we were, but then more importantly, who we are. And it was because of our own sin, our own choice, that we died spiritually. That's one of the things I really appreciate about God, is that God is a just God. You know, any of this original sin stuff, it's not biblical. It was your choice that separated you from your God. And you made that choice with your eyes wide open as an adult who understood exactly what they do. You walked away from God. And the just penalty for that is eternal condemnation. But he made a way for us to come back to him. We were dead men walking. but he made a way for us to be new. We know that that way, Romans 6, 1 through 11, is for us to be united with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. I really appreciated the previous two messages, and appreciated the point Mark made in particular, is that when he was talking about how really what we were made for was to have greater affections, that our appetite needs to change. Not just, oh, you shouldn't do that, but rather that the things that we desire, the things that we have an appetite for, those are the things that need to change. And so that's why God had to create an entirely new creation. See, in the waters of immersion, we're not just the old person who is washed up a little bit, but rather an entirely new creative act happens in the waters of immersion. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to blitz through this one. Second Corinthians 5, starting in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. So, who is it who determines who we are? Again, this is, Mark covered this as well, is that we are who he says that we are. He's the one who determines reality. You know, some of you might be familiar with the old Dennis Green quote, they were who we thought they were. Right? Well, guess what? We are who Jesus says we are. And he's the one who determines that. And so we were dead men walking. We were outside of Christ. But now we have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. We are brand new in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's whom God has made us to be. And that took place in the waters of immersion. We were made alive in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6. And this is really where I'm going to focus in on tonight. Galatians 6 and verse 15. We're going to be back and forth to Galatians quite a bit. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. It's kind of a concluding statement here from the entire book of Galatians. Galatians 6:15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So what has Paul done in the book of Galatians? Well, one of the major purposes of the book of Galatians is to correct the Judaizers. Okay, so the Judaizers are coming in and they're saying that the system of the faith of Christ, that system actually is only a beginning point. And you also have to add certain parts of the law to really be holy. You need circumcision. You need the dietary laws. And that's the way that you're actually going to be holy. And Paul is putting an end to this, and he's saying no add-ons. No add-ons. That the law of liberty or the faith of Christ, that system, okay, in Acts chapter 15, it's called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that new covenant system is sufficient. And that new covenant system is that which brings life. And you can't put man-made laws and regulations and produce life. You have to let the Lord actually change your affections or to change your appetite. And so, as he's going through that, he comes to the conclusion here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything, which is what the Judaizers are pushing, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Which I really appreciate the way that Paul brings that out in particular, because he's just spent an entire book communicating how there aren't any man-made laws. There aren't any man-made rules. And how does he end it? Those who will walk by this rule. What rule is that? Those who walk as new creations. Those who live by the law of liberty. Neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. See, we were united with Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection, and he raised us up. He raised us up as a brand new creature in the image of God. And so we were made alive. We were saved by Jesus' life. Jesus' death was absolutely necessary, but we're saved by the life of Jesus. We're going to come back to Galatians chapter 5 and 6, but if you go over to Romans chapter 5, Romans 5th chapter, start in verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're saved by the life of Jesus Christ so that we may have life, so that we can have real life. He is the firstborn among many brethren. We get to join with him. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter. We are united with Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection, also in his ascension. And you, again, I really appreciate that process of immersion and the way that God has set that up. If you go, we won't turn back there, but one of the ways that that's communicated scripturally there in Romans chapter 6 is this form of teaching to which you are committed. The form matters, right? And the form paints a picture that we only have through that form. So God's design of immersion to unite us together in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection needs to be preached, needs to be emphasized. The only way that you get to Christ is going through that form. And yes, that's one thing to say to a group of people in this tent who have maybe heard that thousands of times, but I'll tell you what, that even in our Bible studies, even when we're working the plan, where we're running the track, it has to be emphasized. People don't catch things the very first time that we say them, or the second time, or the fifth time, or the tenth time. But God is clear through his scriptures, okay, the point at which a person gets into Christ. And so this form that God has created helps us to understand the picture that he has for us to be raised up with him. And it doesn't just stop at the physical resurrection of Jesus, just like Jesus' work didn't stop with his physical resurrection. He ascended, right? Well, where are we seated with him? We join with him. Where has he raised us up to be? Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, where did that happen? Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Changing appetites, anyone? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. The old man has died, and the new man is alive. This, our eternity started at our immersion. You can go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We were raised up, right? Let's do that, actually. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. We have passed out of death into life. So many times we have the tendency to think about the sweet by and by. Oh, how great it will be. Oh, how great will be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. If you haven't met him by that point, you ain't meeting him. At least not the way you want to. And so when we're immersed into Jesus Christ, that's when our eternal life starts. That's when it begins. And so he has made us alive. He has seated us with him. Of course, we can go to Ephesians chapter 2, how we are raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We're made alive. Our eternity started when we were immersed into Jesus Christ. So now, for us, the challenge is to live and to walk by faith. To live and to walk by the things of the unseen realm. What is it that is really important? What is it that's really valuable? How are my desires his desires? I appreciate it. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Prophecy here about the new covenant. Isaiah 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. Why? Because they were a people who wanted to. A people who were changed from the inside out, whose behavior was not conformed by a bunch of rules, but rather a people who wanted to be pleasing to God. A people who could now live this out on a daily basis, to live out a new system with a changed heart. See, that's one of the things going back to the book of Galatians, is that God's Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, that system, there was nothing wrong with that system. That is, that system couldn't be improved upon. See, I think we're used to maybe hearing that there was nothing wrong with the law, but I want you to think about that for a second from the perspective of there's nothing wrong with the law in that the law to that end was perfect. And it was a system of rules, and that perfect system of rules didn't produce a people who wanted to keep those rules. That's why our system of rules, whatever that system of rules might be, is not going to improve on God's system. And so we have to have something completely different. We have to have a brand new system, a system from the inside out. And that's what God designed according to the new covenant system. See, one of the things about the nation of Israel is the nation of Israel had to come out and be separate from all of those pagan peoples. What's one of the reasons for it? Is because their system couldn't overcome the system of the pagans. Eventually, they would be infiltrated because their hearts weren't changed. But what does he tell us to do? Go. Make disciples. Immerse and continue to teach those disciples that light overcomes the darkness. You can go out and you can influence the world instead of being so concerned about the world influencing you. Because we want to be pleasing to God. Our appetites have changed. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second, for finding fault with them. He says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Sounds like sanctification. "And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." See, as his new covenant people, as his bride, right, he has written his law in our minds. He's put his law into our minds, and he has written them on our hearts, and we are his people because we want to be. He has made us to be. We are new creations in Jesus Christ, living and walking by faith. That's why, if we go back to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians the 5th chapter, picking it up in verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." See, we're no longer a dead man walking, but we are a Christ's freedman. And as Christ's freedman, what do we want to do? See, going back to Romans chapter 6, it's kind of interesting the way that some of that terminology is brought forth, is that we've voluntarily made ourselves slaves to Christ, haven't we? Because I want to. Because that's the only thing that's satisfying. Because he's changed who I am. He's changed my appetites, and now I want to be pleasing to him. That's the most important thing. And that can't be just tinkered with from the outside, and if you pull the right incentive levers from a fleshly perspective, no, we're going to have a circumcision of the heart. There's going to have to be a change from the inside out that only the Lord can accomplish. And so what's the goal now? For us to live and to walk by faith, to live and to walk according to that New Testament, New Covenant system. Let's drop down to verse 13 in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:13. "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, and the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" See, the freedom here is used for us to be able to serve one another, to serve the Lord, that's what we're interested in using our freedom for. Properly understood, biblical freedom is never something to be afraid of. If someone is going to churn the freedom of our Lord Jesus Christ into law, that's not because there's something wrong with our system. It's because they are not living and walking by faith. They're living and walking, trying to justify themselves according to the flesh. Same thing with licentiousness or lawlessness or, you know, feeding the desires of the flesh. It's because their appetites are not what the Lord desires them to be. And so we have to understand then that the faith system of Christ, okay, it's not with law on one side and lawlessness on the other side, and we somehow have to thread the needle in the middle. It's a completely different system. And this is a system where the Lord actually works with us from the inside out. He changes us from the inside out, and it is our job to live and to walk by faith. And when we live and walk by faith, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord and to serve one another. And guys, that is exciting. That's what's fun. That we're saved to serve. And that's where the joy is, because if we're trying to hold on to the things which brought death to us, that doesn't work with the new covenant system. Our desires are wrong. Our appetites are wrong. And so that's what produces that lukewarm. It's what produces those people who are just treading water spiritually, hoping not to drown today. This doesn't work. Yeah, make sure that that old man stays dead. Somebody talked about making sure and going back down in the basement and shooting him. That was a pretty good line by that guy. He's got to stay dead. Because what God has buried, okay, don't you go looking for the shovel for. That was Nolan Toole. That was a good one too. And so we were made alive in Christ Jesus. And tremendous benefits that go along with that. Benefits that sometimes if you've been in Christ for a while, sometimes you can think right over those benefits. What about the benefit of a clean conscience in Jesus Christ? Don't forget about that. What about the benefit of freedom from our past? It doesn't dictate anymore, does it? It's not an excuse, but it also doesn't dictate. Just because there was a failure yesterday doesn't determine Jesus' potential in me today. Ability to access God in prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We could go on and on. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can change our inner man to look like Jesus Christ. Guys, this freedom is there for us to be able to serve. Saved to serve. And shared purpose is where the fun is. That's where the fun is. When we give up the things which brought us death, but we also embrace the things which bring life. And that is investing in the eternal. Investing in the things that are going to matter forever, which we know that's really just souls. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you want purpose, if you want real life, if you want to live and walk according to faith, you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There, you join in Jesus' purpose. You join in Jesus' purpose. That's where fun is. That's where life is. That's where hope and joy are. Joining in His purpose. Any other purpose, that won't do. That's not where my appetite is. Appreciate your attention.